She threw up her hands. Typhonius put a hand on her shoulder.
Steady, Revy. Apologies. She's just out of field. Too many enthusiastic adventurers today.
Too many admirers.
Feline gave Revy a teasing look. The summoner just glared.
Says the big shots who've gone through a parade 8 times. We've gone 5. That's 5 total for me. I think Hallrock said 6.
She looked at Hallrock, who shrugged. Both teams looked at the half-seekers. Jellicoe scratched her head.
Funny. We don't get invited to parades often, no matter what we do. I think we're only 2.
And the horns are 1. Well, let's add another to the list. Remember, don't slip.
Feline cautioned the others with a teasing smile. She pointed. Saria could see a drake jogging towards them and waving at the adventurers in the rain. Her heart began to beat faster.
Oh boy, I think this is us.
Break a leg.
Don't. You deserve this.
I enjoy it.
Good job, sister.
Yalaz caught Yvlon as the horns began to walk forwards. He nodded at her, and she smiled. The 4 adventurers moved to the head of the group of adventurers, conscious of all eyes on them. Then they walked out into the rain. At first it felt silly. Saria felt a drizzle on her head, but didn't see anyone. She stepped out onto the cobbles. They'd been put at the east gate, at the back of where the parade would start, and began marching down the street with Pisces at her side and Yvlon and Kissimver following. No one was around, although she could hear fanfare and drums in the distance. And then she saw the people. They were lined up on the streets, some covered by awnings, others holding parasols or cloaks in hand. Most simply let the rain fall. Drakes and gnolls and some humans scattered at first. Then suddenly a mass of them. All at once the faces turned into a sea and Saria felt her heart beating faster. There was noise in the air. Cheering, shouts, and a voice calling names out. Ahead of her, Saria could see the last of Selim's watch marching. She spotted Relk, waving a hand and shouting at the crowd. The other gnolls and drakes were also marching, waving at friends and family, some still bearing wounds, missing eyes, a broken limb. One gnoll had to be helped along. His left leg was gone, but the crowd cheered them, their city's heroes. They fell silent as the horns of Hammerod began their march in the parade. Drakes and gnolls stared at Pisces. They knew him. They stared at Kissimver and at Saria and Yvlon. Pisces was a necromancer. Kissimver was Antinium. As for Saria and Yvlon, they had participated in one of the biggest expedition failures in recent memories. Saria saw some of the drakes hiss at Pisces and saw his shoulders go up.
"Give him a show,"
she muttered under her breath. Pisces looked back at her. 2 images flashed into her mind. Pisces standing in front of Wistrom's mages, shunned, and Pisces walking down Ochre's streets, a hero. He was both these things to Liscor.
"Think you can give him a trick or two? No skills, just magic?"
she asked him challengingly, feeling her words were too loud in the silence. Pisces blinked and then smiled.
You first.
Coward. Okay, I was going to show you later. Watch this.
Saria pulled a wand out of her robes. Conscious of every eye, she raised it and pointed it to the sky. The gray skies were drizzling. Saria concentrated.
Frost bloom!
A chill condensed around the tip of her wand. A bubble of hoarfrost held for 1 magical moment. Then it expanded and shot outwards. Saria heard a gasp as her spell shot out 20, maybe 30 feet overhead. The crowd cried out in surprise as the water droplets fell to earth as hail, breaking. The ground in front of Saria was coated with a light layer of frost, a product of the chilling temperature of her spell.
Not bad,
Yvlon smiled, took a step, and nearly fell. Kissimver caught her just in time, and Saria heard a few chuckles. Pisces stroked his chin.
Well, we can't have that. Let me try.
He raised his hand, and green and gold fire shot forwards. The crowd oohed as the flames licked the street, turning the ice back to water. Then Pisces let the flames spiral upwards. They turned into miniature dragons, which roared soundlessly before evaporating. It was a powerful spell, and part illusion. Saria held her breath as she tried to see if it had gotten the crowd on their side. She heard silence and felt her heart sink, and then heard someone yell in among the onlookers.
Awesome! Go Pisces! Do more!
Heads turned. Saria saw Aaron waving wildly, laughing as Lionette held Mercia up beside her. She began to clap as Pisces, bemused, conjured another gout of fire which turned itself into a small horse which galloped through the air. The Drakes and Gnolls stared at the fire, stared at Pisces, and then they started to applaud. Yvonne, grinning, tossed her sword up and caught it as it rotated back down. That wasn't a skill, but it was a good trick. Kissimber waved all three hands. The applause grew louder. More adventurers followed the horns down the street. The crowd applauded more as Saria and Pisces showed off their spells. Kissimber leapt into the air incredibly high and passed through a hoop of fire Pisces conjured. The people gasped. Then they began to cheer. The three gold-ranked teams saw the Horns of Hammerod begin to receive wholehearted applause at last. Jellicoe grinned and punched Moore in the thigh.
Ha ha! They did it! Told you they could!
Our turn.
Griffin Hunt moved into place before the Silver Swords and Half-Seekers. Hallrog looked annoyed, Typhonius pleased.
Let's just get this over with. The Horns did a good job getting the crowd interested. Think we can top that, Revy? Hallrog?
Typhonius pointed at the other bronze and silver rank teams. They were also doing tricks with magic, if less showy than Pisces and Saria. Some were trying to do tricks with their swords, but the parade was really a place where mages shone. Revy rolled her eyes as she took something out of her bag of holding.
Rookies, stand back, you two.
She held a large piece of amber with part of a moth's wing encased in it. Hallrock and Typhonius stood to one side as Revy strode forwards. The eyes of the crowd were on her. Already many were applauding and calling out their names, especially Hallrock's.
Hallrock! Hallrock the Grim!
Griffin Hunt! Show us the spectacle!
Revy obliged. She tossed the wing in amber up, and a flash of light stunned the crowds. Then there were screams. A face-eater moth, glowing green, spread its wings wide, and the shocked Drakes and Gnolls stumbled back before they realized what it was. A summoned spirit. They cheered and booed Revy as she climbed on its back, and the face-eater moth walked down the street. She waved at them regally, like a queen, as Typhonius and Hallrock watched her take the lead.
Oh, that Stitch Girl will be the death of us both, I swear.
Typhonius tugged at his beard, trying to hide a smile. Hallrock just grunted.
Let's get this over with. Just a moment. Appearances do matter, Hallrock. My turn.
The older mage walked after Revy. He tapped his staff on the ground and smoke billowed up, forming a cloud of Typhonius's face. It loomed overhead as the mage began to walk forwards, grimacing and making faces that simultaneously terrified and amazed the Drake and Gnoll children watching. Hallrock coughed and walked along behind Typhonius, a scowl on his face. The crowd cheered him, though Hallrock didn't so much as turn his head to stare at them. He made it halfway down the first street before he grimaced and stopped. Hallrock paused, took an arrow out of the quiver at his side, and drew it to his bow. He aimed straight up and loosed. The crowd paused and watched the shining arrow fly higher and higher until it exploded with a dull boom and a spray of flames which went out in the light drizzle.
Waste of a good arrow.
Saria heard him complaining as he walked onwards. The crowd cheered wildly, not seeming to mind Halrock's sour mood. In fact, they cheered him for it. Next came the Half-Seekers. If Griffin Hunt started the show in earnest, the Half-Seekers embodied it. More was visible over the heads of everyone as he walked forwards. Jellicoe's pale body and Seaborn's half-crustacean form attracted as many gasps as applause until they, too, started performing magic. Moore struck his staff on the ground, and flowers began to bloom in his footsteps. He raised his hand, and flowers of every color began to appear over his body, and vines grew from his fingertips, twining up his arms and chest. The crowd murmured in appreciation at the gentle spectacle. The half-giant left a trail of quickly wilting and vanishing flowers and grass in his wake. By his side, Jellicoe threw the bright flowers growing from his body into the crowd, laughing as people caught the magical plants and held them, exclaiming as the flowers quickly faded out of existence. Seaborn walked next to the two, looking slightly uncomfortable as people eyed his crustacean half. Jellicoe nudged him.
"Come on, Seaborn. Show the kids a trick."
"I don't want to."
"Oh, we're both doing our part. Just one."
Seaborn looked around and realized he had no choice. Reluctantly, he walked faster until he was in front of Moore and Jellicoe. The crowd waited with bated breaths to see what he would do. Seaborn took two steps, did a flip into the air, and unsheathed his daggers. They glowed as he slashed and then landed, rotating once and sheathing his blades before he touched the ground. Everyone oohed, and more than one child pointed excitedly to Seaborn and asked if they could do that too. Bringing up the rear were the Silver Swords. They followed the last group of adventurers and received just as much applause. The sight of Yalaz, Feline, and Dawil was a fixture of the battle, and more than one story had been told of Yalaz slaying the giant moth. And true to their reputation, they didn't disappoint either.
"Ha ha!"
Dawil roared with good spirits as he lifted the hammer over his head. He strode forwards, letting the crowd cheer him, shouting with unabashed good spirits. Behind him, Feline rolled her eyes, but smiled and raised a wand. She flicked it, and the audience held their breath. When nothing happened immediately, Yalaz glanced at Feline, puzzled, until he heard Dawil cursing.
"Oh, you damn elf! Put me down! Put me down!"
The knight saw Dawil cartwheel past his head, weightless, flailing frantically with his hammer in hand. The audience cheered and laughed as Feline made Dawil fly just over the heads of the crowd. The dwarf cursed her until he started to enjoy himself and pretended to swim through the air. Only Yalaz and the other mages noticed the slight sheen of sweat on Feline's brow.
"I believe Dawil would call you a show-off."
"It's for a good cause. If he'd stop flailing, I'd have an easier time not dropping him."
Feline smiled politely at the crowd as they walked forwards. Yalaz smiled too. He raised one hand and waved as he walked, causing a few drakes and gnolls to stare at him admiringly. The knight had no special skills to show off, but the sight of him walking down the street in shining silver armor was enough for applause. As the last of the adventuring teams followed the Silver Swords, there was a hush among the crowd, an expectation. The streets behind the adventurers lay empty for a good minute, and then every ear heard the rhythmic sound. Footsteps marching in perfect symphony. The first black body appeared, and the crowd murmured as they saw a worker marching at the head of a row of soldiers, holding a burning censer in hand. The soldiers marched in his wake, heads held high, silent. The marching of the soldiers was perfectly uniform, and the cheering crowd that had loved the adventurers was silent. Pawn walked forwards, his censer swaying, his head bowed. A curious feeling stole over the people watching. They had no words for what he was doing, no memory or comparison for the scene they beheld. But the praying Antinium and the solemn procession spoke to them. The incense wafted through the crowd as the rain fell harder. The soldiers marched on, their bodies painted in every color. One had yellow splatters across his front, another a terrifying purple smile. Another one had leaves drawn in green, as if he were some kind of tree. Yet another was simply marked with a crown of silver. One walking near the edge had no paint at all, until you realized the paint was a black pair of wings on his back, almost invisible in the wetness. The people of Lascaux watched the soldiers march, silently at first, but then someone clapped. It was impossible to tell who it was in the rain, but it was immediately followed by someone else starting to applaud. More began to clap, and then the applause drowned out the rain. In the crowd, Erin stared around wide-eyed. She hadn't been the one who started the applause, and she'd been ready to, but she hadn't been necessary in the end. Lascaux began to cheer the Antinium, and as they marched, she could hear voices in the crowd around her. The painted soldiers were faceless Antinium, all created in the same image, that was true, but because they were painted, they were all unique, and for the first time, those in the crowd recognized individual soldiers.
Oh, I know that one! The one with the white circles around his eyes? He saved my shop!
Anol pointed at a passing soldier. Erin, standing with Lionette as the rain soaked her, saw Mercia peering excitedly at yellow splatters. She heard more voices of recognition as she applauded, smiling and cheering for Pawn with all the energy she had.
Hey, that's the one who killed the moth breaking into our home, Mom! Do you remember? Mom! Mom!
The Drake child was pointing excitedly at a soldier who had turquoise on the tips of his clumsy fingers and his antennae. Nowhere else. Erin saw the Drake mother wave tentatively at him, and the soldier turned his head just slightly. He hesitated, and then two of his four hands twitched, a tiny wave back. The Drake girl waved excitedly. The crowds cheered. Erin stood in Lascaux as the rain fell down, and for the first time in history, Drakes and Gnolls and humans cheered the Antinium. It was a moment for history. She smiled until she thought she'd burst.
Oh, what a great parade!
Unbelievable.
The fourth company stared at the Antinium, passing them in disbelief. They listened to the applause from Lascaux's citizens and practically spat venom when they saw a Drake child waving at a soldier.
Is this really what the city's come to?
Antinium? Really?
What happened to pride? What about General Saris? These people, they don't know what...
Wing Commander Embria stood next to Zavara in parade rest, her face set, watching the Antinium pass by without a word. Zavara noticed the tenseness in her tail, but the commander wisely kept her opinions to herself. The parade ended with speeches, as all good parades did. Actually, the speeches were mainly for Lascaux's council to award the adventurers and members of the Watch with some recognition, as many of Lascaux's citizens melted away. But after they'd offered Pawn a brief note of congratulations, the council turned the stage over to Embria. It was, all things considered, a poor note to end the parade on.
We are delighted to also announce that our fourth company of Lascaux's army has returned to safeguard our city. She and her soldiers have marched tirelessly to return to Lascaux. I believe Wing Commander Embria has a few words for us.
The Drake announcing coughed nervously as he abandoned the podium. Embria stepped forwards. The crowd of citizens stared at her. Zavara could already hear the murmurs.
The army?
No. Are you serious? Where were they when...
Better start going to taverns that don't serve them. Too many damn fights when they're drunk.
We've got the Antinium. Why do we need them?
Zavara winced at that. She could see Embria twitch as she took the stage and feel the anger of the soldiers behind them. But that was Lascaux's army. They had never had a good relationship with the city at the best of times. They brought chaos and didn't stay long, which was good. But as a result, the citizens regarded them as, well, a nuisance. Thankfully, Embria seemed to sense the mood because her words were curt and to the point.
Citizens of Liscor, we are delighted to return home after so many years. We regret that our company did not arrive in time to witness the heroic defense of the city. I personally offer you my sincerest apologies for our delay. We were unavoidably detained fighting for the glory of Liscor around the walled city of Xeres.
Silence. Zavara heard someone cough. Embria frowned.
We are grateful to all those who contributed to the defense of Liscor during her darkest hour. Henceforth, the Fourth Company shall dedicate itself to defending this city against any threats to it, be it the goblins, monsters from the dungeon, or anywhere else.
She didn't quite look at the Antinium, but Zavara sensed the ripple in the crowd. Embria was not having a good time on stage, and Zavara dreaded the part where she was supposed to ask Liscor to cheer their returning heroes. She saw a number of drakes and gnolls break away from the crowd, and then she spotted a human walking away with another human and a gnoll in her arms. Maybe Aaron didn't intend to be so loud, but Embria had paused, and her voice was just a bit too carrying.
Well, looks like it's time to go. That parade sure was fun, wasn't it? Ending sort of sucked, though. Hey, is that really the army? They look like jerks.
Zavara sighed as Embria stared at Aaron's back. The watch captain slowly covered her eyes and groaned under her breath, a gesture seen by the entire crowd. On the whole, the citizens of Liscor agreed that watching their watch captain wince through the rest of the speech saved the parade. The army left with a few thousand patriotic drakes applauding them, and watch captain Zavara finally got to get back to her desk to sleep. And after Wing Commander Embria had finished dismissing her troops, she took a personal trip to a certain apartment in the city. She knocked once and didn't have to wait any longer. The door opened, and the owner of the apartment stepped out reluctantly. Relk, senior guardsman of the watch and former sergeant of Liscor's army, emerged from his home, scratching the spines on the back of his head. He stared at Embria as she stood in the doorway, spear in hand, dressed in her officer's armor. He stared at her. She waited.
Hi, kid.
Father? She stared at him challengingly. Relk avoided her gaze. He looked at her, sighed, turned his head as if looking for help, and then gave up.
Let's get a drink.
Time went by. The day drew onwards towards night. Liscor finished with its parade, celebrated or mourned in its own way. More than one tavern found itself with twice as many guests as normal, as Liscor citizens decided that eating alone wasn't for them. They were equipped for the rush, of course. Any innkeeper or bar drake worth their salt knew to stock up in advance, and every establishment was hopping. So it was funny and slightly telling that Relk and Embria found themselves turned away from every inn and bar, even the ones that Relk went to nightly. They were recognized on sight, and while one or the other wouldn't have made the establishments close their doors, the owners had learned to recognize the father and daughter duo like the way a herder learns to recognize which bull is charging them across an open field.
Oh, I can't believe this. You're a senior guardsman. I'm a wing commander. How many inns have blacklisted you?
Embria stormed down the street as Relk followed, wincing. The normally upbeat drake dragged his footsteps as he followed his daughter.
I drink there all the time. I think they don't want the two of us in there after last time.
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah, but the tavern owner definitely remembers us. Why don't we go?
No!
The young drake woman shook her head, glaring back at her father. Relk shrugged helplessly.
Come on, kid. I know the owner, and she won't kick us out.
She's a human. She insulted the army during my speech, and don't call me kid.
To be fair, it was sort of funny.
Relk saw Embria's eyes flash and coughed. He shuffled his feet.
Look, Erin's a human, but she's cool, really. And I sort of promised I'd go to this party she's putting on. Kilb's going to be there.
Your Antinium partner? Embria hissed the word. Relk shrugged. He had a hard time meeting her eye.
Well, yeah, we are partners. Sort of how it works. Captain C gave me the day off and everything.
You were going to have a party at her inn? Was Psy not included in your plans? Relk raised his claws defensively.
Hey, I didn't know you were going to show up. I totally canceled when Captain C told me. Look, we don't have to go, but Erin's got alcohol and cake. She said there'd be cake.
He looked longingly towards the western wall, where a doorway had been set into the side of the wall itself. Embria glared at her father and then relented. Ugh. Fine. What's cake?
Oh, it's this great thing. You'll love it, promise.
Relk brightened. He led the way towards the door, talking excitedly.
It's really sweet. Erin's coming up with all kinds of new stuff all the time. She's got pasta, blue fruit juice. Well, she doesn't have it right now. Hamburgers, pizza, goblins, tons of cool stuff like popcorn, ice cream. Have you heard of ice cream? It's this thing from Tyrandria, and she knows how to make it.
Embria halted in the street. Did you just say goblins? Watch Captain Savara mentioned there was an inn that had monsters working as part of the staff. That's the inn you're talking about? Run by that human? The Drake Guardsman groaned. He turned pleadingly to Embria.
Look, she's cool. The goblins, sir. Goblins. But they don't do anything. Come on, kid, let's get a drink. On me. I'll introduce you to Erin. You don't have to look at the goblins or eat cake. I'll eat your share.
It was possible that Embria could give her father a more disappointed look. She turned her back, ready to march away. Desperately, Relk played his last card.
Did I mention the General Shivertail used to eat there all the time? It was his favorite spot.
Hey, is that Relk? Welcome to the party! Celebration! Whatever, I thought you weren't going to make it.
Erin beamed as Relk came through the door. The Drake grinned weakly at her. Erin grinned back and then froze as she saw another Drake enter behind him. She had red scales, shiny armor, a spear in one hand, and she was giving Erin a death glare.
Whoa! Is that your date?
Relk choked. The drake behind him opened her mouth angrily, and he stepped in front of her. The big drake cleared his throat a few times.
Erin, I'd like you to meet my daughter, Embria.
At that particular moment, Erin was holding a stack of plates and cutlery, which had no bearing on what followed, because Erin did not drop what she was holding, but she was very tempted to. She gaped, put her dishes on a table, and then threw up her hands.
What?
She's back from the army.
What?
Look, we just need a table and a drink. Did I tell you she's a wing commander?
You have a daughter? Since when?
Erin's raised voice made every head in the room turn. Relk winced as he saw three teams of gold rank adventurers, Kilbukach Bird, Olesim with all his Drake and Knoll friends, Kershaya, the Horns of Hammerod, Lionette, Drassi, Ishkur, the Red Fang Goblin, Celis, and her grandmother look over. Mercia poked her head up from underneath a table and stared too.
It's complicated.
me everything! Wait, is this your daughter? Isn't she the Drake who was leading all those Oh.
At last, Erin realized where she'd seen Embria before. She paused and gave the other Drake a very sheepish smile.
Hi.
The red-scaled Drake folded her arms. She stared at Erin and then pointedly looked away. Her eyes focused on Kilbukich Bird and then the Red Fang goblins who were sitting at a table still wearing their security armbands. Her eyes narrowed.
We just need a table, Erin. Somewhere quiet, please. And far from the goblins. And Kilbukich, Embria's got a thing with them.
The young woman's eyes narrowed, and she stared at Embria, who returned the gaze.
How bad of a thing? Celis's grandmother already had a thing with the goblins, and—
Erin, I really need this. Please.
Relk looked pleadingly at Erin. She relented.
I can put you over here, next to the stage. Far, far away.
She seated the two at a table 10 feet away from everyone else. Relk ordered a drink, and Embria ordered the same. They sat in ice-cold silence as Erin bustled away. Relk's tail swished nervously as he grinned at Embria. She did not return the smile.
So, this is the inn.
Those Sarhobs. In an inn.
Right, but Erin's got tons of other people in it. Drakes, you know that guy's our strategist, right? And check out this room, huh? It's huge. Erin's new skill, isn't that—
Why are there 3 Antinium here? I thought you only had 1 partner, the Slayer. Or has the Watch started letting more Antinium in?
No, that guy's, Bird. He's, Erin's employee, too.
I see. Embria's arms were folded. Relk desperately looked around, waiting for Erin. After a lifetime of one-sided conversation, she came back with 2 full mugs.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Great. Hey, Erin, what's for dinner?
Oh, we've got tons of stuff. We've got beef rolls, lasagna, pizza.
We'll have the rolls. Both of us. Embria cut her father off as he began to brighten. Relk sighed as Erin looked at him.
Yeah, sure. 2, please. And,
He hesitated and lowered his voice as Embria stared at him. Relk looked longingly towards the kitchen from which tantalizing smells poured forth.
Can I have a slice of cake?
Erin's answering smile was like the sun coming back up for Relk.
Cake? Sure, I baked lots. In fact, you can have tons of slices, only... Oh...
She hesitated. Relk's heart sank.
Oh, what?
Well, let me bring you a slice.
Erin hurried into the kitchen and came back with a slice of cake. Relk stared at it with dismay. It wasn't that the cake looked bad. On the contrary, it was vanilla cake. Erin had yet to figure out where chocolate came from, frosted generously with rich icing. However, and this was the deal breaker, Erin had decorated the cake with miniature faces of goblins. Relk stared up at Erin with hollow accusation in his eyes as Embria glared at him. Erin could only shrug.
We had this big parade and everyone was getting appreciated, except the goblins. So, I, you know, thought it would be nice. Everyone likes it. Well, except Celis's grandmother. And it's really good.
Is there any cake without smiling goblins on it?
Nope.
Right. Well, I'll have a slice. Embria?
No. The Drake watched her father accept the big slice of cake. Relk coughed and began eating as Erin brought out beef rolls stuffed to bursting with bacon, breadcrumbs, onion, and a spicy filling. She eyed the hot food, suspicious at how fast it had come out, but began eating. Her brows shot up.
This is good.
Isn't it? Oh, I love eating here. I used to eat here all the time before... Well, now I eat here sometimes. Not often, just... sometimes.
Relk chattered nervously. Embryo looked at him and sighed. I don't mind you eating out, Dad.
Really?
I know you can't cook.
Hey, I mean, you're right. Can't cook. Oh, totally dependent on other people. I'd starve if I didn't eat out.
But you could make an effort to eat at other establishments, Sinless Score. Not... Embryo jerked her head to indicate Aaron, who was laughing and offering Bad Arrow a slice of cake while the other goblins tried to fight him for it. Relk hesitated.
Look, Aaron's sin is special, really. She only got the goblins recently. I mean, they've been around a while, but there was only this titchy one before, and Aaron likes goblins. Don't know why. I got in trouble when I kicked these other goblins, see?
Ah, good to see you're doing your job, despite what the human thinks.
Oh, come on. Kid, she makes good food. Like, really good. Try this cake. Here.
Relk offered Embryo a forkful of cake. She brushed his hand away, raised her fork, and eyed the sugary offering. There was a small goblin head smiling at her. Embryo speared it through the eye and lifted a bit of cake and frosting to her mouth. Her eyes widened.
Ancestors, what is...
It's good, right?
It is.
It looked like it pained Embryo to admit it. She shook her head as she began eating Relk's slice of cake, much to his relief and chagrin. But at last she seemed to be relaxing. She nodded to Relk.
So, this is what you've been doing recently? Eating at this inn and guarding Lis Score?
Yep. Same as always. What about you?
I made Wing Commander last year. I wrote you a letter. You never wrote back?
Oh, I read it. I just, sorry.
Huh, at least you remembered my birthday. Thank you for the message.
No problem. Hey, what's the army doing now, huh? Fighting around Ceres? Oh, must be tough. Those guys don't let up.
We manage. I was surprised to hear that Lis Score needed help. I thought you'd be able to handle anything that popped up.
Oh, yeah, but we've got a dungeon and moths. Oh, and did I tell you about this named adventurer that turned out to be a fake? She was murdering people, and guess who helped fight her off?
Fight? You mean she got away?
At least it looks like she's talking to him now. There's a lot of tension in the air, though. You could cut it with a knife. Gee, you think? You could throw a knife over there and it would stick in the air. Just look at the way her tail is moving. She's really upset with him. Oh, you think she's mad because of me? No.
Really?
Celis rolled her eyes as she turned to Aaron. They were peeking at the talking father and daughter duo from Aaron's kitchen.
No, I think she's totally fine with the human innkeeper who insulted her when she was giving a speech, asked if she was dating her father, and employs both Antinium and goblins in her inn. That was sarcasm, Aaron.
Yeah, I got that near the end. But why is she so uptight?
The drake sighed.
She's part of the army, Aaron. They're the strictest hardtail group Lis Score has, and that's saying a lot. They hate monsters, no surprise, but they also hate the Antinium. They refused to go near the city for 4 years when we made the treaty with the Antinium after the Second Antinium War, and they've only been back twice since then.
Oh, that's pretty bad, yeah.
Aaron stared at Embryo. She still couldn't believe that was Relk's daughter. She was Aaron's age, and she looked really good with her red scales and so on. Aaron would have loved to talk with her, but from the way Relk kept wincing every few seconds, she doubted Embryo was in a good mood.
So she's Relk's daughter? Does she like him?
Celis shrugged.
He is her father, but what a dad. I don't envy her. Just look at her. And her name.
What's wrong with her name? Embryo sounds cool.
It is. No, it's more embarrassing. Embryo? Seriously, Aaron, that sounds like the name of some kind of dragon. She can sort of pull it off with her scales, but I bet she got teased all the time growing up. Only Relk would give her a name like that.
Aw, poor kid.
Embryo turned in her seat, and both Celis and Aaron ducked back. Aaron looked at Celis.
So, we haven't gotten to talk much.
I wonder why not. Could it be the monster attacks and everyone nearly dying?
You're getting good at sarcasm, Celis. But I wanted to talk to you about all kinds of stuff, not just work.
Good, because my grandmother's here, and she's going to kick your tail for getting me to try and register those hobgoblins.
Your grandmother? Do I have to talk to her? She's scary.
Huh, you don't know the half of it. Hold on, who's coming through now? Is that...
Celis broke off, and Aaron got up as she spotted a familiar figure entering the inn through the magic door. Wall Lord Ilvris and 12 of his followers entered, all of them staring around the inn as if it was a dump. Ilvris caused a commotion, though. He headed over to Olesim's table as all the drakes sitting there shot to their feet. Embryo also rose and strode over to the Wall Lord. She saluted as Ilvris turned to her. Wall Lord Ilvris, sir.
Oh, Wing Commander Embryo, is it?
Ilvris looked mildly surprised as he saluted Embryo in return. He glanced at Aaron as she hurried over.
Ah, Solstice, a table for 13 next to Olesam's table. This is a celebration in his honor. Drinks, water for me.
Hey, Ilvris, I didn't think you'd turn up.
Embryo nearly choked on her tongue as Aaron grinned at Ilvris. He glared at her as his adjutants gasped at her effrontery. Undeterred, Aaron looked at Embryo, confused.
Are you Embryo's boss? Sorry, Miss Embryo's. I thought you were in different armies or something.
Stiffly, Embryo turned to Aaron. Drakes share a common command. We respect each other even when we are at odds. While Lord Ilvris is one of the foremost leaders of Salazar, he deserves at least a modicum of respect.
Exactly. A general is still a general, regardless of which city he hails from. He should be accorded respect in war, not that humans share our beliefs.
Ilvris smiled at Embryo, who returned the smile, and then looked at Aaron.
The table?
Oh, Drassi! Ishkur! Table here! We'll push it over. So, you're here for Olesim's party?
I promised him I would attend, and I am a drake of my word,
the Wall Lord replied haughtily. He paused and lowered his voice.
And I was told you were serving cake?
Aaron grinned at him. The Wall Lord sighed.
I would like enough for all of my followers to eat, assuming you're willing to sell me what you have left.
Aaron grinned at him wickedly.
Oh, I've got tons. Only there's a slight problem.
When she presented Ilvris with the cake with goblins decorated on it, Embryo stared at the Wall Lord, waiting for his reaction. Ilvris eyed the goblin drawn in frosting and sighed.
Typical. Fine, I'll pay for one for every drake at my table, and whatever Swiftail spill is, I'll cover for the night. No cake for me. It's far too sugary.
Want some mayonnaise instead?
Ilvris sighed.
give me your menu, Humong, and don't push your luck.
He went to sit down at his table. Embria returned to sit with Relk, wide-eyed.
Warlord Ilvris eats here, Relk grinned.
Told ya. Old Sal ate here, too, before. You know, people like Aaron.
I can't believe he didn't take offense. What were we talking about?
You said you were ordered to come back here. Was it to see me?
Embria looked frostily at Relk as he gave her a big smile.
Hardly. I was ordered to return because my company had few wounded, and because we could be spared. I would have argued to stay on the front, but I thought I might as well return to give you this.
Here. She reached behind her and picked up the spear. Relk eyed it, and his eyes widened.
Hey, wait a second. That's mine!
She nodded.
Took you long enough to figure it out.
I was looking at you. Hey, are you giving it to me? Did you do your old man a favor?
No, I'm just delivering it. The army doesn't need your spear, and they've decided to let you have it, since Sliskor's gotten more dangerous. You sent them 15 letters.
Ha! I knew that would do the trick. All right, my old spear. Thanks for bringing it, kid.
Relk was overjoyed. He grabbed the haft of the spear and grunted. Embria hadn't let go.
Kid? Hello? Embria?
His daughter stared at Relk. Her arms didn't move an inch.
Dad? You should come back.
The big drake froze. He held onto his spear as he stared at Embria. His eyes slid past her.
What? Nah. I'm good, thanks. I retired, remember? They wouldn't want...
I talked to my commander. He says you could re-enlist. You'd have your old rank back. You could join our company in the city and come back with me after the Goblin Lord's dead.
Look, Kit. Embria, that's a nice offer, but I'm done with the army. Can I have my spear now? Please?
Senior Guardsman Relk tried to smile. Embria stared at him, unblinking. Tell me why.
I told you last time. I like it here.
Still?
Staying in one place doesn't make me stop liking it, Embria. I like not being in the army more now, actually. It's restful being in Sliskor. Well, mostly. I get to fight and relax, you know?
Relk tried to laugh, but Embria looked troubled. She shook her head as if unable to listen to him.
You're wasted here. You're a guardsman.
Senior guardsman? That's an important rank.
A senior guardsman. When you were a legend back in the army.
Relk's smile faded.
I was a sergeant, kid. Don't listen to those other idiots. I was just a sergeant. Hell, I got paid like one and never got past that.
A sergeant who got awarded an enchanted spear for valor? Don't lie. You were a hero. You could have stayed and been famous.
A pained look flashed across Relk's face.
I was already famous. I wanted to get old. I told you I retired.
No one just quits.
Right. They stay, even when they're wounded or old. That's how your mother died.
Embria's eyes blazed.
She died a hero.
Yeah.
Relk didn't meet his daughter's eyes. He gripped the spear tighter. There was a creak from Embria's chair and the table between them. Neither drake moved.
Let me have my spear, Embria.
Rejoin the army.
No.
Give it a moment's thought.
I did. And I did the last time you came by.
The answer's no.
A spark of fury entered Embria's voice. She tried to pull the spear back with both hands, but Relk's single arm didn't budge.
You're wasting away here! What are you doing, working with the Antinium? With the enemy! Do you know how humiliating it is to know you're his partner? That you're the only Drake from the army who—
He has the name! Kelp! Kelvigich! He's my buddy!
He's a monster! The Antinium are a threat to Lyskor!
No, they're not! They save Lyskor!
That's not what the High Command believes!
Oh, yeah?
For the first time, Relk met his daughter's eyes squarely. He pulled, and her arms moved an inch unwillingly towards him.
You think the Antinium didn't save us? That we beat the Necromancer by ourselves? I was on the walls. I was there, kid. The High Command's got it wrong. The Antinium saved us.
They just did that to trick us.
Good trick. They could have let us die when Skinner attacked, or when the Moths did. They've fought for us ever since then, for 10 years. You want to give them a bit of a break?
Embria hissed.
Forget about them. Just come back.
No. Give me my spear.
It's not yours. It's the army's until I let go.
Relk's huge arm gripped the spear tighter.
Then let go.
Embria pulled back, setting her stance, gritting her teeth as her tail lashed the chair legs.
Make me.
What are they doing?
Eren stared at Relk and Embria as they both held on to the spear. She edged over to the Drakes, having fun, and who were ignoring the weird tableau that was the subject of attention and at least 5 bets in the room.
Psst! Ilvris!
The Wallord looked up as he paused in laughing at something Olesim had said. He sighed.
What is it?
Speak to Wallord Ilvris with respect, human!
One of the Drakes sitting next to Ilvris glared at Eren, her tail curled around her chair's leg. Eren gave her a blank look.
Sorry, but I'm in a hurry. Besides, Ilvris isn't my lord of the wall or whatever. He's cool, I'm cool, we're on a level.
The Drake sitting around Ilvris inhaled sharply. The angry Drake woman half rose.
The nerve of...
The wall lord held up a claw and sighed.
Enough. What is it you want, Solstice?
Eren nodded to the father and daughter locked in a silent tug of war.
Relk and, Embria? What's their deal?
Ilvris stroked his chin and looked around the table.
I don't know that Drake personally. He's a senior guardsman, isn't he? Chivotel seemed to know him, but I don't recall. Does anyone here know his history?
He looked around. One of Ilvris's more military-looking followers sat up.
I do, sir. That's Relk Glastung, former sergeant in Lyskor's army, the Gecko of Lyskor.
Ilvris clicked his claws together.
That's him. Oh, I knew I'd seen him before. And he's a guardsman in Lyskor now. Oddities never cease in this city.
The Gecko?
Eren had heard the name somewhere, but she hadn't fully connected it to Relk as a title until now. She stared at Relk, confused.
Is that some kind of fancy title? I've never heard Relk call himself that, and he brags a lot.
She saw some of the Drakes at the table smirking. Ilvris spoke calmly.
It's not exactly a compliment. Are you aware of what the geckos are, Solstice?
Sort of?
Eren frowned. In her mind, geckos were small, quick little things that ran away and shed their tails, and sometimes promoted car insurance. She could see why Relk resented the title.
They run away, right?
Exactly. The Gecko, or rather, Relk Glastang, was a known figure in Lithskor's army for his speed and fighting prowess. He was one of their best fighters who ambushed enemy officers and then escaped before he could be caught. A valuable skirmisher, in other words. But the title stuck.
Ilvris nodded as he recalled Relk's history. Aaron was impressed. If Ilvris, who was a big shot, could remember Relk, then Relk must have been something. Then again, Ilvris seemed to have a photographic memory where drakes were concerned.
Why is his daughter mad at him then? And when did he have a daughter? Why'd he leave his army if he was so great?
Ocelos.
Ilvris looked at the drake who'd known about Relk. The officer sat up and nodded sharply.
More details.
As much as the human wants.
The drake drummed his claws on the table before speaking.
The Gecko of Lithskor, Relk Glastang. From what I can recall, he was never formally married, but had a child out of wedlock with another soldier, a major, when he was quite young. And my understanding is that this wing commander, Embria, grew up traveling with Lithskor's army. So I would assume she was raised by both parents, as Lithskor's army traveled from place to place. As for Relk Glastang himself, he had a notable career for over 2.5 decades until he suddenly retired. An oddity among Lithskor's soldiers. Considered highly dangerous, known for his speed, which could match a courier's, he never made it past sergeant, and in an army like Lithskor's, that is telling.
Why's that?
Aaron was curious. Sergeant didn't sound bad to her. It wasn't great, but she saw Ilvris motion for the drake to tell her.
Lithskor's army is unique in that they have an officer for every 5 soldiers. Generally speaking, sergeant is a worthless rank in an army that has hundreds of sergeants.
What? Really? Hundreds? Isn't that too many?
It's a tactic they employ to strengthen their army.
Ilvris shrugged as he took a drink. He grimaced. He was drinking water. Aaron wondered if he'd be interested in milk instead. The knowledgeable military drake nodded.
It's a trick, but a good one. Lithskor fields a very small force, 2,000 or 3,000 generally. They can rise as high as 6,000 depending on whether they're actively conscripting, but their strength doesn't lie in numbers. It's their officers which buff their army to the point where they can fight against larger foes.
Oh, I get it. And Embria's higher rank, right?
Considerably. She's a wing commander. That's a variant of the commander class that specializes in... You could think of her as being a few ranks down from general human.
What's her other class? Solstice. Most officers have 2 classes. Sometimes they have just 1, but many have 2. Ocelos...
Ilvris looked over at Embria. She was still holding on to the spear, as was Relk, but the table between them started to creak. Aaron thought she saw cracks forming in the wood. She wondered if she should stop them, and then wondered if that would get her stabbed. Ocelos pondered Ilvris's question for a moment.
Our main combat class is, spear hunter, I believe so.
I'm not familiar with the class. Is it mobile?
Yes, sir. Specialized in mobile offensives. Sometimes gained by hunters specializing in spear weapons. It's an upgrade to the spear drake class.
Spear drake?
Our version of spearman. Well, she's not as adept as her father, then. Not that I'd expect her to be at her age.
Wait, how good is Relk, then?
Ocelos coughed.
Sergeant Relk, that is to say, Senior Guardsman Relk, was known as a formidable spearmaster. He earned the class by slaying another spearmaster on the battlefield.
And that's...
Yes, solstice, that's good.
Ilvris sighed.
With his skills and speed, the gecko was a terror to strategists and lower-ranked officers. I don't doubt he's just as formidable now as he was in the past. Oh, what was his level, Acelos? Do you know? 33? A level 33 spearmaster plus a level... Well, at least a level 20 sergeant is a formidable combination.
But he retired. Why?
Ocelos didn't know. Ilvris tapped a claw on the table.
Dishonorable discharge. A desire to stop fighting. It could be any reason, which is his alone solstice. But his daughter clearly resents his retirement. It's rare for Drex to retire from military life to begin with, and Lyskor's army takes that example to the extreme. She probably wants him to return to his command.
And he doesn't want to go.
You have it correct. Does that satisfy your interest?
Yeah. I just wonder, though, does she love him?
Who?
Embria. She came all this way for him. Does she love him?
Ilvris paused.
I don't know. Perhaps...
He got no further. There was an almighty crack, and Aaron's head whipped around as she saw the struggle between father and daughter end at last. Relk pulled his spear towards his body, and Embria let go as the table literally snapped between them, sending shards of wood flying everywhere. People ducked, and Aaron covered her face as Relk raised his spear.
Ha! I win!
Embria lay on the ground, staring up at him. She got up slowly as Relk lowered his spear. He looked almost ashamed as he offered her a hand.
Hey, kid. No hard feelings, right?
She stared at his claw and knocked it aside. She stormed away from Relk as Aaron rushed over.
Oh, my table! Hey, Relk, what was that about?
Stuff.
The drake sighed and kicked at a broken table leg. He looked around at Aaron, at Kilbukich, and grinned weakly.
Sorry. I'll pay for that. Embria and I were just, it's difficult. But hey, at least I got my spear, right?
He tried to laugh. It didn't work. Aaron looked at him, opened her mouth, and decided not to ask. She pointed at his spear instead.
That's your spear? The one you kept talking about? Is it magical?
Yup. It pierces magic barriers like cheese. Ha! Soft cheese.
Relk twirled his spear. It had a groove tip, and the haft looked thick and made of a dark brown-gray wood. Besides that, it looked completely normal to Aaron at first glance. She waited for Relk to go on.
Wait, that's it?
He looked offended.
What do you mean, that's it? That's great! I could take on any gold-rank adventurer with this! I could have given that jerk Noel a run for her money and killed that Skinner dude with this! Okay, maybe not killed him, but I could have poked out one of his eyes. Besides, this spear won't break. Check this out.
Relk walked over to two more newly made tables and tossed his spear on top of the gap between them. He leapt up and balanced on the spear shaft as both tables bore his weight, grinning at Aaron. He hopped up several feet and landed heavily on the spear. Both tables jumped, but the spear didn't so much as bend an inch. Aaron stared appreciatively at the spear.
Cool! Now get off my tables! They're brand new!
Okay, I was just telling you. It's a good spear, and Embria brought it all the way here. She's cool, that kid of mine. I just...
Relk broke off as Embria stormed back towards him. The red-scaled drake looked angry, and she ignored Aaron completely as she stopped in front of Relk.
"Looks like I can't bring you back this time. Keep your damn spear, Dad. No one else needs it."
The senior guardsman looked hurt.
Embria.
"Save it. I'm going back to Lescore. I just wanted to say something before I left. Not to you, to the human here."
Embria turned towards Aaron. Confused, Aaron met her sizzling gaze.
What's wrong?
"Half the things sin you're in, human. But those goblins are the worst. Get rid of them. They're a threat."
The drake nodded towards the Red Fang goblins. The sound in the room stopped as everyone looked up. Aaron saw Ilvris glance at the goblins, and the hobs immediately grew tense. She scowled at Embria.
"They're my security! They work here!
They're monsters! Don't lie to yourself!"
Embria glanced at the hobs, not a shred of compassion in her eyes. She looked around the room, speaking loudly.
"You might not be aware of this, but after General Shivertail's death, all the walled cities are increasing their bounties on goblins fivefold. Lescore's High Command has agreed with that decision and made it a policy to hunt down goblin tribes we encounter, as have the other Drake cities on Israel."
Her voice echoed as she turned to face the Red Fang warriors. They sat at their table, the five of them, staring with crimson eyes at the red-scaled drake. Embria's voice was impartial, distant, as she continued.
"We eradicated two goblin tribes on the way here. Small ones, not worth mentioning. The walled cities are doing the same, and a lot of ordinary drakes have volunteered for temporary military duty to honor General Shivertail. And we're not alone."
She pointed towards the north where the floodplains and rains ended and the road led towards Selim and beyond.
"I'm told the human nobility are mobilizing armies against smaller goblin tribes. Once that human with the large army moves, there won't be a living goblin north or south of Lescore for 1,000 miles. These goblins might be safe until they cause trouble. Or until I can convince Lescore's council that they're a threat. But soon enough, they'll have nowhere to go. Their tribe will be wiped out. The humans are already purging the smaller tribes, just like the drakes."
Aaron's heart beat wildly. "Rags!" Embria kept staring at the Red Fang goblins. They met her gaze, and there was a bit of wild in their eyes. A bit of hate. She stared back as Head Scratcher's grip tightened on his mug until it cracked, and Bad Arrow held back Short Hilt and Rabbit Eater. Embria pointed at the five hobs.
"Run while you can, goblins, and run fast, because this time, everyone in the world is hunting you."
Then she turned and stormed out of the inn.